The title for today's devotion is A Promise from God, as recorded in Psalm 32, verse 8 from the King James Version. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Chris and I have always enjoyed walking. One of our favourite places is the Lake District in Cumbria. Before I met Chris, I would often take my holidays in the Lake District. I have more than one interesting experience while out walking. On one holiday, I set out in the car to the southern point of Grisdale Forest in Cumbria in the Lake District. It was a sunny morning, which is a vital ingredient for an enjoyable holiday. The warmth of the sun, which warms both inside and out, showing up nature at its best, refreshing oneself in body and soul. As David reminds us in Psalm 23, 2 and 3, He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. Arriving at the car park in Grisdale, which was called Blind Lane Car Park, I did not know or realise at the time this name has permutations for this particular walk. The car park was south of Grisdale Forest, west of Lake Windermere, where this particular part of the forest was called Blind Lane Wood. Arriving at the car park, I slipped on my walking boots, slung my backpack over my shoulders, and with map in my hand, set off into the forest on this particular path I had chosen. This path took me directly into the centre of the forest. Partway along the path, I paused for a moment. It was silent. Then I heard the snap of a twig and sighted some deer. I discreetly lifted my camera hanging around my neck, yet with just the click of the camera shutter, the deer detected me and leapt away into the forest cover. Soon the path narrowed till it just became a narrow track, and then the track just faded into untouched undergrowth. Where am I? I asked myself. Which direction should I be heading? I knew that when I left the car park, the sun was shining. The sun was behind me as I approached the forest. It was fast approaching midday, so with the sun behind me, it would give me a sense of which direction I should be heading. But the sky soon became cloudy. The sun had disappeared behind the clouds. Looking at the map did not help me because it did not show any track. There was no track marked on the map. What else could I do? Then I recalled that I'd been following a river up to my right. But to my surprise, there were now two rivers, one on either side of where I was. Having twisted through the tracks in all directions, I did not know which direction I was heading or which river was the one that originally was on my right-hand side. I then reached into my backpack for my compass. I searched. I could not find it. Then I remembered I'd left it in the car. Why did I not place it back in my backpack straight away the last time I used it? What do I do now? I asked myself. I did not have the presence of mind or maybe mature enough in my faith to ask God for direction, but I did have one option open to me. The soil I had been walking on was damp. I saw I had left the imprints of my boots where I had walked. So I retraced my footsteps back until I got back onto the main path that was shown on the map. Now there was only one river. I then knew which direction I had to walk and was able to get back to the car park safely. From the experience I encountered on this walk, I have learnt many important lessons about my walk with God. We must equip ourselves with the full kit and use it for us to effectively walk the Christian road, to enjoy it and to know where we are going. When at times we face trials and the path becomes foggy and unclear, we then have with us all we need to ensure God will take us safely through on the path He only has marked out for us. The day I set out for the walk, the sun was shining. It's the vital ingredient to enjoyable holiday. It brightens up the world around us, it gives warmth, which together makes us happy and lightens our spirits. Those expressions of sunshine remind us we need to know the sunshine and warmth of God's love in our hearts. To know we are loved by God gives us contentment. We discover we have a purpose in life when we follow Him. God's love is what brought Jesus to earth to experience life of mortal man, but also to realize the cost of our salvation when Jesus offered His life as a ransom for the sins of all mankind. How can we receive that love, that sunshine of God's love in our heart? We have to become a Christian, a Christ follower. You may never have experienced a time in your life when you knew total fulfillment, contentment and joy in your life. Each one of us, when we're born with a void that needs filling. That void is waiting to be filled with God's love and peace, bringing eternal satisfaction and fulfillment. But you have to reach out to God and ask His forgiveness for all the wrongs you have done in your life. Jesus promised total forgiveness and will come and live in your heart. You will know with certainty He is in your heart. You will feel the transforming power surging through your heart, bringing a peace and joy only Jesus can give. You will have an assurance of life with a purpose and certainty of an eternal life to come. The apostle tells us in Romans 10 verse 9, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. It was on the 24th of April 1957 at the age of 11 when I gave my life to Jesus. Simply asking His forgiveness for my past sins and asking Him to become Lord of my life and live in my heart. The next day, the junior school where I attended had arranged for everyone to go and see Queen Elizabeth in the town close by. The Queen was to be driven through one of the large parks in the town so as to accommodate enough room for all the children there to see her. I well remember walking down the wide tarmac path alongside the recently mowed lawns on a bright, glorious sunny day. My feet were walking on air. My spirit was light within me. I knew something inside me had happened, which gave me great joy and would last for time and eternity. I've often remarked since, I've got my priorities right. At first I met the King of Kings first, before I met the Queen of England. The sunshine was what compelled me to go on that walk in Graysdale Forest. Once I arrived at the car park, I put on my walking boots. It should be the desire of each one of us to identify with what the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 6:15, have your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. As a songwriter implores us, go forth and tell, O Church of God, awake, God's saving news to all the nations take. Proclaim Christ Jesus, Saviour, Lord and King, that all the world His worthy praise may sing. When I set out on the walk in Graysdale Forest, I needed to ensure I had a map. A map gives an overall view of the area was not sufficient. I needed a detailed map with all the paths marked on it. We as Christians have a map which is detailed and gives us a clear picture of which path God should be leading us. It is the Bible, the Word of God. We read in Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. As well as the map, of vital importance, we also need God's compass. When the path seems dim, we're not sure which way we should be heading, we need to know the leading and guidance of the Holy Spirit. Walking in mountainous regions like the Lake District, the weather can change in a moment, so I always carry a light waterproof jacket in my backpack. We need protection on our Christian pathway. The old hymn asks the question, will your anchor hold in the storms of life? When the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cable strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? The chorus brings greatest reassurance. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure, while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Saviour's love. We are God's children. He loves everyone dearly. He wants to protect us, but we must stay close to Him for that to happen, as we read in Psalm 91, verses 1 to 4. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. When we are faithfully following Him and being guided by the Holy Spirit, He will give us that assurance, as David reminds us in Psalm 139, 1 to 18. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit down and when I arise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not seem dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depth of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Today, many motorists use satellite navigation, utilizing the satellite GPS, Global Positioning System, to guide them to their destination. We as God's children need God's compass, God's GPS, the Holy Spirit as our guide. We read in Genesis 5:24, Enoch walked faithfully with his God. Also in Hebrews 11:5 we read, by faith Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Like Enoch, we need to know where we're going, but only where God wants to lead us. If we do not know where we are going and what is our destination, we will soon find ourselves lost, lacking purpose in our life, in the wilderness. We need to walk with God. We need to know that He is guiding us. We need to be constantly aware of God's presence, leading and guiding us. But how do we know? How will we recognize God speaking to us? Remember, the moment we gave our life to Jesus, God's Holy Spirit came and dwelt in our heart. We already link to our Heavenly Father, but have you discovered how God is leading you? And have you ignored His signals, giving you directions? How does God give us that signal? In what way does God reveal to us where we should be going? We read in Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possessed to the praise of His glory. God promises, as the title of this devotion states, from Psalm 32, 7 and 8, You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. You will discover that God speaks in different ways, yet often He has a unique way of speaking to each one of us, which He may use often in your daily life. When that particular signal or voice is heard or recognized, we need to pay careful attention. It may be someone speaking to us. It may be reading a verse in the Bible, the verse of a hymn or song. It may be an inner voice which you know is God speaking. It also may be through circumstance or changes taking place in your life. We have to stay alert. Let me share with you one or two testimonies about God's leading. As a young Christian, I did not understand the importance of hearing God speak to me until I met a fellow Christian who shared his testimony about guidance. He had been offered a well-paid promotion while at the same time God had led him to become a prison chaplain, with many young inmates being led to the Saviour. He did not know whether to take the promotion at work or hand in his resignation and work full-time in the prison, until one day he felt God speak to him very clearly when he read the words in his Bible from Isaiah 30:21. Whether you turn to the right or the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, This is the way, walk in it. He then knew in his heart God was asking him to give up his job to work full-time in the prison, where God continued to bless him, with further young inmates receiving Christ into their lives, being turned from feeling like nobodies to being transformed into becoming somebodies for Jesus. This story illustrates that God can speak through circumstance as well as reading God's Word, the Bible, in turn speaking into our heart. On a number of occasions, this is how God has spoken to me. But God can also speak through fellow Christians. Like while working in Romania, Chris and I met a lady who had been led by God to start a Christian orphanage in Romania. The first time we met her, at that moment God spoke to her heart, and then she said to me, God has just spoken to me. We have land. You can do what you wish with it. I knew immediately this was the voice of God. This lady knew nothing about me. Although I had grown up on a family farm, around that time I had been studying the up-to-date principles of farming, knowing in my heart God was preparing me for something, but I did not know what. Following that God encounter, through the generous help of fellow Christians, we were able to buy that piece of land, build a Christian community centre, and begin to reach out to the village with God's love of salvation. Early in 2006, Chris and I came back to live on the farm where I grew up. Dad was now in his 90th year. As I walked towards Dad's house, I heard a clear voice in my spirit saying to me, Dad is going to live till he is 92. This word from the Lord I convey to Chris. Dad died just a few weeks off his 92nd birthday. I found it a great privilege for God to speak to me in this way. What I experienced on the walk in the Lake District highlighted what was going on in my Christian life at that time. It was a watershed experience in my life. God does guide us through people and circumstance around us. Jesus promised he would be with us always, yet we need to have that moment-by-moment communication with Jesus to know him walking alongside us. I had been brought up in a Christian home. At the chapel we attended, there were three services on a Sunday, then a Bible study and a prayer meeting during the week. Sadly, our Christianity only appeared in the chapel I attended, but at home, nothing of our Christian faith was discussed. But I can say my father was devoted to prayer and each moment gave time to read the Bible. For me, at the age of 11, I felt the warmth of God's love by his Spirit and gave my life to Jesus. Being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, I am so privileged and so humbled when I realize that through my youth and teenage years, God's Holy Spirit was prompting me and highlighting to me the hypocrisy, legalistic and ineffective lifestyle my church was living. I did not realize the weaknesses at that time. Then, during my mid-teens, a young Christian family came to live in a large manor house close by to start a Christian youth work. They, having visited our church and got to know us a little soon, saw how the church and our family were operating. I was the same age as their son David and struck up a friendship with him, as well as his parents, who had a heart for young people. I began to build a close relationship with them. David's mother, Audrey, began to very sensitively explain her concerns for me, showing me that we cannot live our Christian life and be affected without the inner working, outworking of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Audrey took me to 2 Corinthians 3 verse 6, where part of the verse reads, "The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." I did not realize that I was in bondage or legalism. Understanding the scriptures mechanically instead of the Holy Spirit lovingly leading me into true freedom. Scriptures were being used as a rod to hold me, showing me all the wrongs in my life and binding me, preventing me from true spiritual growth and stepping out in faith to be a true warrior of Jesus. But God had a plan for my life. He would soon catapult me out of my present environment and lead me into a church, a family of Christians who were led by the Holy Spirit and joyfully had a fruitful, fulfilling Christian life. Like my walk in the Lake District, I had what I thought I needed, my map, the Bible, but my walk lacked the joy, also the tangible sunshine of God's love and the compass, the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the things I would need if I were to know where I was heading, when the road ran out. I did not know as yet where God was leading me. So to reiterate, in my Christian walk, I was missing the richness and warm sunshine of God's love, and just as important, the compass, the tangible reality, the awareness of God's voice speaking to me, the inner anointing of the Holy Spirit, who, although he was guiding me and bringing me into contact with rich spiritual Christians, I needed to know him speaking to me. I had to retrace my footsteps. I had to unlearn so much of what I'd been taught by interpreting God's words mechanically without the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Bible seemed like a new book. So much more God revealed to me. Even now, every time I read through the Bible, some verses or quotations seem they have only just been written, reading them new for the first time. Often, those revelations brought an entirely new outlook and fresh insight to the whole of the Bible. Then God led me into a new job, and in turn, I met a Pentecostal Christian. I was about to meet fellow Christians, each filled with the Holy Spirit, knowing the freedom and living out their Christian faith effectively. I was then lent to a church which was growing, where God's word was preached faithfully with love, seeing souls brought into the kingdom of God. I knew in my heart this was the kind of fellowship I needed, which all Christians should seek and enjoy. After all, the Christian church is a family with one purpose: to please God and see his kingdom grow. As a Christian family, you are protected, and when difficulties arise in your life, you have those around you to support and help you through. So, as I began to fellowship with the church family, I knew the richness and heartwarming effect the Holy Spirit would have on my soul as my fellow Christians revealed the Christians to me in a new way. Then once my spirit began to waken to God's Holy Spirit warm my heart, I found that in my personal reading of God's Word, a new and heightened awareness was taking place. The Word of God was truly alive and active, as Paul says in Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Having that newfound freedom, knowing God's voice in my life, it was during this time God released me and guided me into developing my full potential in what God wanted me to do and how he wanted me to serve him. To enjoy the Lake District walk, it was vital the sun was shining. It warmed my spirit within as well as my body on the outside. If the love of God is not shining in your life, you can let circumstances crowd in like a dark cloud. Unless you keep your heart open to God's voice, you will not be able to detect God speaking to you. You will miss that warmth and sunshine of his love. You will be missing all the wonderful plans and joys he has for you. Can you say with the songwriter, "I'll walk with God," which was sung by Harry Secombe? Let's listen to the song. I'll walk with God from this day on. his help in hand I'll lean upon. This is my prayer. May my humble plea, may the Lord be ever with me. Amen.